Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's conference. At that time, you may press star one on your touch-tone phone to ask a question. I would like to inform all parties that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Vivian White. Thank you. You may begin.
Hey, thanks so much, Jennifer. Hi, everyone. It's Vivian White here from the NASA Night Sky Network. I'm calling you from the Astronomical Society of the Pacific in San Francisco, California. I'm really excited to present this teleconference tonight. We have two great guest speakers, Mike Simmons and Leo Hyland from Astronomers Without Borders. They're going to be discussing their latest initiative to bring U.S. clubs closer to clubs from around the world. It's called the Global Pairing Program, and they've got a lot of great things to tell us about it. So before we get started, I want to make sure everyone can view the presentation slides. In case you don't have them up in front of you, you can download them or view them online at, we have a bit.ly link here. It's bit.ly/telecon AWB. That's TELECONAWB for Astronomers Without Borders. So one more time, bit.ly/telecon AWB. And if you have any problems along the way or you can't get there, feel free to email us. We'll be watching our email at nightskyinfo@astrosociety.org. So my favorite part of the evening, for a brief minute, I'd like to hear from the folks joining us tonight. So Jennifer, if you could open up the lines, and if you guys out there on the call could just give us your name and tell us where you're calling from or your club you're with, then we'll get an idea of who's listening in.
One moment while lines are open. All lines have been opened.
Hello, Vivian.
Jim Paul from St. Louis Astronomical Society.
Hey, Jim. Stuart Myers calling from Amateur Astronomers Incorporated in New Jersey.
Stuart, I'd recognize your voice anywhere.
Hello, Vivian. Darian O'Brien from Lakewood, Colorado with the Darian O'Brien Astronomy Club.
Oh, great. Hi, Darian.
Terry Smoot from Cameron Park Rotary Observatory.
Right up the hills.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Sherwood from the Los Angeles Astronomical Society. Hello.
Andy.
Skip Bird with Westminster Astronomy Club.
Hey, Skip.
Hey.
And we also have Rob Jaworski from the San Jose Astronomical Association here in San Jose, California.
All right. Hi, Rob. Hello.
We have Marion Weiler from the San Mateo County Astronomical Society with a group of seven.
Oh, great. Mateo Club's really active. It's nice to hear you guys.
Hi, John Hazley with Iowa County Astronomers in Wisconsin.
Hi, Gallagher.
Joseph Klakula from Rochester Astronomy Club, Minnesota.
Everybody, it's so great to hear your voices. I know there's some more of you out there.
John Hazley with Iowa County Astronomers in Wisconsin.
My name is Samuel. I'm with NESLSM High School Observatory, and I represent about 30 people that all volunteer with us. So.
Hey, that's great to hear. Welcome.
Yep.
Okay, well, we might close it up and get started then.
One moment, please. Speakers, your lines are open.
All right, thanks. So it's so great to hear everybody out there. If this is your first teleconference with us, we welcome you. If this is your 50th teleconference with you, welcome too. Just follow along with those slides that are up hopefully on your computer now, and there will be time for question and answers at the end of the talk. So if you just give me 1 minute, I'll give you some updates on news for Night Sky Network members. Our survey of amateur astronomers is closed, and it's being analyzed as we speak. We had almost 1,000 responses, which was Wonderful. And there's a lot of great feedback and information there. We're taking our time digesting it all, and we'll get that information out to you when we finish. Thank you to everybody who participated in that. We're also working on a few bugs on the website, so we're really sorry. There have been a couple delays in getting them worked out, but rest assured they will be addressed. We really, really apologize for the delay, but they're being worked out now. And we are about to ship out some toolkits. So remember to log your events to qualify for the latest round. If you haven't received one in a long time and you're wondering why, it could be that you've got them all, but it might be that we've made a mistake. So if you want to contact us, if you think you should be receiving one and aren't, just give us an email at nightskyinfo@astrosociety.org. Also remember that by logging your events, you're going to qualify to win one of our prizes for this round. And this quarter we have the Night Sky Adventures take-home kit from a program called Family Astro that the Astronomical Society of the Pacific runs. It's adventures that you can do with families, and they're really relevant for astronomy clubs who have family programming. So we hope you win one of those. We hope you get your events logged. We were going to be doing pins here. You should be hearing from us in the next few weeks about pins, so keep an eye out for that. And now it's my great pleasure to introduce our speakers, Mike Simmons and Leo Hyland from Astronomers Without Borders. Mike Simmons is the president of Astronomers Without Borders, and Leo Hyland is championing the Global Pairing Program, and we're going to discuss some of their latest initiatives from Astronomers Without Borders, with a special attention to this new club-focused program that's designed to bring clubs together from around the world, astronomy clubs from around the world. A little bit about Astronomers Without Borders, and then I'll let Mike give us the rest of the details. Their mission is to connect people around the world through this universal interest we have in astronomy. They foster understanding and goodwill across national and cultural boundaries by creating relationships through astronomy. And so the Global Pairing Program kind of goes right to the heart of that mission. And we're going to let these guys tell you all about it. Mike and Leah, would you like to begin?
Well, this is Mike, and I will begin just for those who don't know about Astronomers Without Borders or aren't sure about what we do, and I think Vivian gave a good introduction to that. The idea is that we all share the same sky, and wherever we are there around the world, there are people that are fascinated by astronomy, and there are enthusiasts around the world in every country. And the idea is to bring people together to share our experiences and to learn from each other. And there is a great deal to learn for those of us in developing country or developed countries from others in developing countries as well. Often very surprising, but there is always something new. So we have different kinds of programs in which we share resources with each other and things that we do together, observing, you know, if there's an event or a conjunction or something, people, clubs around the world observing it essentially together and sharing their reports and things like that. And so, as Vivian said, this goes right to the heart of it. And the clubs are the focus. It doesn't have to be the whole club, of course. It's usually a couple individuals who are interested in doing it. But the Night Sky Network is a perfect place to start. So with that, Leo, who is the program manager for this special new program, I'll let him go ahead with it.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Mike and Vivian. I trust you can hear me okay, and I'll continue on if I hear otherwise. So the Global Pairing Program under Astronomers Without Borders is exactly that, a pairing program designed to bring various clubs around the world together and to exchange information and interests and grow based on that. So if you're looking at the foils, first of all, the top foil, just the entry foil, we can pass that up now. The idea here is to share our interest in astronomy and science. And if you'd go on to what is identified as foil number two, we can talk a little bit more about what we're doing. Mike identified this need to exchange information with others and a desire by many people to do so. And we also felt that when we first got into the program that there were a great number of very experienced individuals in astronomy in North America, and particularly the United States, that were willing to share that information with others. And we also had the vision that maybe there were some areas of the country where there might have been challenges or young people that were not as experienced. So we wanted to bring them together and expand the network and bring them together. This is the whole idea here. So on the left, you can see I'm trying to show some older, more experienced individuals and then, various clubs getting together and maybe perhaps pairing up with these other clubs and schools and organizations around the world, particularly clubs. But like Mike said, probably individuals in small groups of 2, 3, 5, 10 people. But what we're finding as we go through the program as well is that there's anything from very young elementary school children that don't know anything about astronomy and that do want to learn about it to very experienced, very mature organizations like shown in the middle slide, the middle right slide. Photographs and also the lower slides. But we found out that by bringing them together, we can learn from them and they can learn from us. So it's not just our mentoring others, it's actually our learning from each other. And one of the things that we think that comes out of this most initially is a cultural exchange, if you will, learning about those other people in those other areas of the country, and then expanding from that and learning about our interest in science and astronomy. So if you would go on to foil three now. Initially, we set this program up in January, and we did go through a learning curve, and we did have some miscues initially, but we've now changed the program to the point that I think we're getting clubs very interested in the program. Right now we have the clubs listed on foil three, and actually I think I have a couple more I need to add, international clubs that are requesting pairing with partners. And you can see that they're all over. They're pretty much on almost all the continents. We've got Uganda, Bangladesh, Jamaica, a number of clubs from India, and that seems to grow almost weekly with India. Zimbabwe, and other areas of Africa, Nepal, China, Morocco, the Philippines, and so forth. Very dynamic group of people, and some of them, like I mentioned, are very young groups, some representing work in elementary schools, and others being research scientists in China that are in a club. So quite a varied interest of people. So if you go on to foil four, I've kind of alluded to this already, that we learned early on that the range of interests vary widely. Initially, when we got into this program, we thought about developing curriculum for the clubs and developing a syllabus. And we quickly learned that that was a big turnoff for this program. Most people didn't want that. They didn't want anything that structured. They didn't want to get into that mode of teaching. So what we did find is perhaps the best way to do it is to allow them pair, as I mentioned, learn about the cultures, find out what interests they have, and then develop their own program, if you will, or their own list of experiences, their own list of interests, and develop something from that point. We've learned that is the best approach, and that seems to be working now. We have, I should have counted the actual number, but we have somewhere in the neighborhood of 10 to 12 clubs paired today. And a lot of those programs are just within the last 2 to 3 months, but we are continuing to expand the list of people that want to be involved. So if you go on to slide five, the question here is, why should we get involved? Well, I think many clubs have people that do outreach, sidewalk outreach, I'll call it, locally, but this is the opportunity to do outreach across our boundaries that we have across continents and across the seas. And the exchange of information will be very rewarding. And we really see this growing and becoming a very, very positive thing. You might look at it maybe as kind of a sister city program, but it's really not that. It's more, there'll be more personal exchange than in those cases. Also, I had another kind of an analogy of this kind of thing, and that was I used to be a ham radio operator many years ago and used to do a lot of international DX work. And you got to really know people around the world, and you really learned from that and gained from that. And this is maybe similar to that. Instead of sitting in an observatory by yourself looking at a bunch of nebula somewhere, what have you, you can actually also continue to expand someone else's mind or learn from others. So it's a very, very valuable way of doing outreach around the world. And as I mentioned, we do want the agenda to be determined by the two clubs involved, and they can expand it from there. We would like to get some feedback on those clubs as they do that so that we can find out whether the program is working and if there's anything else that we need to do to change our course in this program. So the people that will be involved is typically small groups, like we mentioned, 1 to 3 to 5 people, and they will meet probably by Skype at the best times that they choose to meet. And I'll talk about that a little bit coming up in the next spoil. But the point I'd like to make here for you club leaders is that this is pretty much a low-touch program. There's not a lot of management by club organization leaders that's needed for this, because this is really those individuals. We'll say that this is, we're using the clubs, so to speak, as the conduit to get the people together. But we really don't think there's going to be much to manage from the club perspective. It would be kind of an open thing, let people get involved. If they want to expand it to something more formal, that would be certainly up to the clubs. But the idea is just to bring people together and learn from each other. So if you go on to the next foil, item 6, or foil 6, I mentioned time zones. When I first got into this program, I thought that time zones might be a big problem, but it turns out that they can be a positive thing. So I have an example here. If you're, say, on the Pacific time area, that aligns with primary school hours, or Pacific evening time, I should say, for example, right now. This time would align with some primary school hours in places like India, Pakistan, and Sri Lanka. So if you wanted to do actual classroom discussion or presentation by Skype to them, that's possible. Also, for those people that might be retired and have daytime hours available in the U.S., that could be nighttime hours for similar locations. So the time zone differences can be both a challenge and also a positive thing, depending on how you utilize the time difference. So the time to meet, again, is going to be dependent on both clubs' needs and desires, so that you can meet anytime. You could just exchange emails, voicemails, whatever. But the idea is to let that up to the club and the individuals involved. So languages is another area that can be a challenge. We're finding that the great majority of clubs have English-speaking members. There are some clubs like Vietnam where maybe 50% of the members speak English, but they would provide interpreters for any needs to speak to those or exchange information with those that don't don't speak English. The other thing that I didn't put in the presentation here, but I will mention, is that we also want to expand this program to what we call North America and include Canada for good reason. They have a lot of similar interests to us, but there are some other positive things there, too, that in Quebec, for example, there's a lot of French-speaking people, and even though it may be slightly different French than some of the other areas of the world, they probably could understand each other considerably better than I could understand them, being an English-only person with a little bit of Spanish that I pick up along the way. But in any case, the whole idea is to get them involved, because we do have some African-speaking French-speaking countries in Africa that we do want to get some clubs aligned with. We've identified that North American clubs are very well positioned to support the needs of this program, and we really encourage your club to get involved. And if you have questions on it, certainly we can discuss them offline or after the end of the call. The things that AWB, Astronomers Without Borders, that is, can provide is we have the framework for engagement. We have an online website that we have established for applying for club pairing, and that's working out well, and it's growing quite nicely in the last few months. We can provide resources and references for engagement with the clubs. We have a number of areas that we can tap into if we have needed resources. We can also help with the initial meetings with the team leaders from each club, set up a Skype call with them, maybe a Skype test, if you will, test call to make sure things work, because some of these technology challenges can make it a little rough in the beginning. We can also suggest topics. We can provide program oversight and some guidance if necessary. And we also can find mentors with other experiences should you get into a topic where you need maybe a speaker or some other resource. I mentioned doing the Skype checkout. And then the other thing we want to do is follow up on the successes and the changes that might be needed to the program. I've been going fairly fast here, but let's go on to the next slide. That would be slide 8. One of the program elements that's exciting is the resources that we can tap into. ASP, the Las Cumbres Observatory staff, has actually offered to have some online time available for some of these engagements. We haven't really worked out all the details on that yet. We've talked to the folks at Las Cumbres, and we're actually going to do some check out of how to do that, whether we can do it absolutely 100% live is yet to be determined. That looks like that might be some challenge. But we do have observatory time, and if there is a club that wants to do some research or do some observing of something special, particularly maybe a club in India that has very poor seeing conditions, or maybe a monsoon season that lasts longer than it does in Arizona, we can get them. And I'm in Arizona, by the way. That's why I mentioned that. That's very exciting. We do think that'll be a very positive thing, and we look forward to getting that program put in place. The Galileo Teachers Training Program also has some resources, and then other resources we do have available, too. So some of the topics that might be included would be, and these are just my thoughts, certainly the clubs can come up with their own list, is visual observing, understanding CCD operations, CCD imaging, robotic observatory, operation planning, star charts and observing, and many more topics. Obviously, that's one of the things about this program is the topics are so wide-ranging that we could have a list here that would be a couple hundred of items long. So our program vision, the goals are to enhance our understanding of the cosmos. This is on to slide 10, I'm sorry. And to improve observing techniques, to establish technical and practical resources for clubs, individuals, observers, and students, and to spark some cultural exchange with international astronomers. And this is the one thing that drew me into the program myself, and that was our ability to retain young students' interest in astronomy and science by expanding the concepts of public and private classroom curriculum although we don't have a curriculum, the whole idea is to keep them involved, keep them in the curriculum, keep them in science, and hopefully make their world better for them and the rest of us. So the commitment we need from the clubs is the same, to a desire to improve the understanding of the cosmos, a desire to participate in a mentorship opportunity, and this can go both ways. We can learn from them, and they can learn from us. And partners with international clubs by delivering training materials, expertise, and time-tested resources. And when I say training materials, this, again, might be virtual materials. It wouldn't necessarily be physical materials. Certainly, we wouldn't stop that. We're not, at this point, asking for clubs to donate any materials or scopes or anything else to the paired partners. But if you found out that there was a desire on both parts to do something like that, certainly that would be open to whatever you decide. And then the other thing that's very important is to support this and develop and deliver on schedules. When we decide to meet, to show up on time, and to meet the meeting schedules that you and the other clubs set up. So with that, I'm 26 after the hour. They said I had 35 minutes. We are probably going to have a number of questions, but one of the real important things to look at here is this slide 11, and that is, if you are interested, if your club wants to make an application for the program, we do have a website, the Astronomers Without Boarding website there at, is shown. We have the Global Pairing Program, which is GPP program, link there as well. And we also have a list of FAQs, which will answer a lot of questions about how the program is run and what's involved. And the specific application for participation is also listed there at the bottom. So that's what I have. Mike Simmons, as you know, is also on the line. And I'm going to turn it over to him to see if he has any follow-up comments about the program.
Well, Leo, it's pretty comprehensive. So I guess we all see things from different perspectives, too. And having talked recently with the idea of connecting people around the world and, you know, focusing on that, one thing I would say, you know, and I think I mentioned earlier, you never know what it is you're going to learn and what's going to happen. But one thing we do know is that the clubs in other countries outside of the developing world, which is most of the world, have tremendous enthusiasm, but there are some differences. Now, most of what they do is outreach. They don't have the equipment usually, and even when they do have the equipment to do individual observing and so on like we do here, it's not really what they're interested in. They want to share it with others. And some of them are really organized and do outreach events that we could not really even imagine doing here with thousands of people and very organized going into schools. Another thing is, too, that outside of the U.S. and Western Europe, the astronomy communities and the clubs are primarily young people, and it is unusual to see older people. So that is a big difference from here. And people talk here about, well, how can we get young people interested again, because it's changed over the years since I was a young person quite a long time ago, and it was young people, and now we're older. And the way to find out, I think, is to ask the young people in clubs in other places. So there really is a lot to learn, and, you know, it's like I keep saying, it's surprising. You never really know what to expect, and that's what makes it interesting. So.
And, Mike, I was going to add to that comment, and that is that we are seeing a lot of young interest, and the thing that surprised me about mid-year in this program is the overwhelming response internationally was much greater than the responses we were getting from the U.S. So we have a big need at this time to get more clubs involved from the U.S. and Canada. It's amazing how they came out of the woodwork, if you will. There was just lots of clubs making application all over the world. but I really had to work hard to get the U.S. clubs involved. So I'm begging somewhat to ask you to consider this. It is a low-touch program from the standpoint of your management of your clubs, but the opportunity and the enjoyment I think that members would find in this is a big rewarding experience. So I really encourage all of you listening to try this program. And with that, if you don't have anything else, Mike, we'll turn it back to Vivian, I guess.
Yes. Sure. Mike and Leo especially, thank you so much for telling us about this. I am excited just listening to all the possibilities. If I could ask the operator, Jennifer, would you mind opening up the lines?
Yes, absolutely. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1, unmute your phone, and record your name clearly. If you need to withdraw your question, press star 2. Again, to ask a question, press star 1. It will take a few moments for the questions to come through. Please stand by.
And so, in the meantime, I was just wondering if you have had any clubs that have partnered and met each other yet. Have you had any first contacts?
Yes, we have. We've had probably, I don't know, again, the exact number, 6 or 8 clubs, I think, are already exchanging emails. Some of them have tried to meet by Skype and had some problems, which I mentioned. But they are starting to meet, and they seem like they're moving forward. We're hoping that in another 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, we can get some feedback that'll give us an idea of what's really going on. I'm not demanding that we get reports from them, but I will be sending them emails, and hopefully they'll respond.
Yeah, great. Mm-hmm.
We do have a question. Our first question is from Patrick O'Brien. Your line is open.
Hello, can you hear me?
I hear you very clearly.
Oh, well, I'm Patrick O'Brien from the Darien O'Brien Astronomy Club in Lakewood, Colorado, and it was a nice presentation, Leo and Mike also, that you were talking about, because I was on the computer looking at your website, and it looks like you put a lot of effort, and it was a nice presentation. And my question is, you mentioned earlier that there were more international groups than U.S. groups involved, and my question is approximately how many worldwide groups are involved and how many U.S. groups are involved now?
Yeah, I'll see if I can I'm going to have to count them, but I'm going to, without actually doing that, I think I'm pretty accurate in saying I think there's about 25 international clubs, and we have about 10 or 12 U.S. clubs.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds like it's a worthwhile project, and that sounds very good, and it's nice that you're trying to get all astronomy clubs worldwide versus America-wide. So, good job.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole intent right from the start, and it was, I think, Mike's vision, and I got to give Mike credit for that because I retired from Intel Corporation in January and was looking for something to do in the way of keeping science and astronomy rolling in elementary school and middle schools and that kind of thing. If I had a teaching certificate, I'd probably go out and teach right now, but I wanted to do something to keep kids interested in science and astronomy, so I picked this up, and I'm going to continue for the next year or so on this with Mike and see if we can make this thing work and grow bigger. As a matter of fact, we might have to at some point get to a way we can automate it more, because at this point in time, it's a lot of hand-holding from my standpoint, a lot of emails back and forth, and maybe we can automate it by making something like, and it's kind of a crazy thought, but a dating site, if you will, where these clubs can date each other and they can exchange and get together. So, yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate those comments.
No, and,
it is
great. Yeah, nice presentation, Leo and Mike.
Yeah, so, Leo, your last thing about a dating site, it's not too far from it. You know, the idea is to match people in groups up. Difference is here, you know, you're looking for matches of people that are very different and just want to find out what they're about. But
right.
I mentioned that we have a lot of work going on the website right now. It's basically being redone.
So I have a lot more capabilities with people filing reports and pictures and basically a lot of ways of sharing. Think of it sort of as, I don't like to use the analogy Facebook because it will be organized, which Facebook is not. So this will be the center for everything, and there will be a great deal more sharing going on. And this is just a more direct one, sort of more.
Oh, that sounds real good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question is from Stuart Myers. Your line is open.
Hello. Interesting presentation. Actually, it sort of exceeded my expectations.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. But you were saying in some of the topics you were talking about, potential topics, getting into, like, robotic astronomy. I don't know how well that would go in some of these countries. They are they're under tech restrictions, as I recall, some of them.
Oh, so you mean as far as sanctions?
Well, what I mean is, that we are not certain. There's a bit, in other words, a little bit of a, would be a little tricky dealing with tech issues. Let's say that.
Yeah, let me take this one because it's something I deal with all the time. And the situation in countries around the world is that everyone's got internet now. What's interesting is that in many, many countries, nobody has computers. They access the internet through their phones because they weren't part of the computer revolution. But everybody's got a phone now. Doing Skype is sometimes problematic as a bandwidth, especially with its video. The remote telescopes would be used sort of in a joint session sharing. And these are web-based.
Okay. No,
so,
I was saying before about when you were saying about like things like robotic astronomy. I wasn't concerned about the Skype, but I mean, giving someone pointers on how to build, say, a robotics, an automated observing system.
Oh no! So the idea is this: that the clubs, they may have a crude telescopes, may have no telescopes, but they are explaining astronomy to people. And what we do in clubs here is that we explain to people and we show them what we're doing with even about photography and so on. And it's really best when you're doing outreach, which is mostly what they do, to be able to interpret what's coming from telescopes and space missions and so on. So the idea would be to have those people who know, say, three-color photography or photometry, they can show them right on the web there with the telescope live, which is very, very exciting for people to do. It's fun for us here if we haven't done it. And so these are live demonstrations that can be done. Yeah. And that would be available tools. As far as building telescopes and other things, that depends entirely on needs. But, we wouldn't try to get them to build a system like that.
Right. But I also noticed that one of your things you mentioned something about Pakistan. I would imagine that would be doing anything of an educational nature in Pakistan would be quite a challenge.
Well, this goes to exactly the reason I started Astronomers Without Borders. In fact, I was in a Skype call with a friend in Karachi, Pakistan last night, less than 24 hours ago. And he's our national coordinator in Pakistan. He's involved in the Karachi Astronomical Society. There's a very active club in Lahore. And I was just Skyped into the meeting of a new club in Peshawar, which is up in the north that we all know about as being Taliban-run and so on. The situation is actually very, very different than what we hear about in the news. We hear about places where it's Taliban-controlled and there are madrasas that are teaching only about the Quran and so on. This is such a very tiny fraction of the country that it's sort of a non-issue. It's a very forward country, tech country. It's like India. And when you connect with a place like that, that's when you learn the reality of the situation.
Huh.
I go to Iran quite a bit. And, you know, I use that as an example. That was what started this whole thing. Iran is probably the most pro-American country I've ever been to. The astronomy clubs are all young people and by far dominated by women, young women. The colleges, there are complaints about gender bias, but it's the other way around because there are 50% more women in the universities than there are men. And it could go on and on and on. So the things that we hear about in the news are important, but they're only coming from one tiny little section where it affects us.
I see your point there. I mean, the reason I thought it would be a bit of a challenge is that you've heard the story about that young woman who very nearly got assassinated.
Yes. And that was while the Taliban were in control of one particular area, one valley. I know somebody who lives in that valley now at the university. It's completely different.
Oh.
So there are pockets like that. I could say there are some pockets of the U.S. that are a little bit behind and different things. And it's much more so in other countries where they're less connected. But this is, these are very isolated areas.
Oh, well,
if one goes to Karachi, which is a city of many millions, mega city, or the other areas, it is one isn't. I even ask myself because, there's a chance I would go up to Peshawar, and this is up in the Northern Territories. And I said, is it safe for Americans? And he said, you know, when I'm there, because he's from that area, he said, there are Americans in the hotel all the time. So,
Well, this presentation has been very enlightening in more ways than I even thought. Thanks for, setting things straight.
Well, and that's when I say there are surprises. This is what I'm talking about. Because I could go on and on with different places that I've been, how different it is. But that's what the surprises are about. It's just very interesting.
Well, wish you luck with the project.
Thank you for asking the question. I think it's a very pertinent question, and it really does show that we're going to break down some borders, too, and do some cultural exchange, and that's very good.
Just a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1. Again, star 1 on your touch-tone phone to ask a question. Our next question is from Sam. Your line is open.
Hi. I actually wanted to reach out to you guys. Just listening to the teleconference, I thought it was fantastic listening to your slides. And I actually really wanted to tell you a little bit about who I am and what I've done just really quickly. I'm actually a freshman college student here at RIT in Rochester. And like you, previously I was really into astronomy. And actually, because I have so much, it's been kind of emotional for me in some sense. I was a high school student, a senior, and I was really into radio astronomy. And so I decided to kind of, get myself together and I really wanted to share the knowledge that I learned. And I actually started a really quick, a hands-on building program for high school students. And I come from a K-12 school in Lower Manhattan. And we've made a tremendous amount of successes in which I actually, just to sum up really quickly, because I'd love to get in touch with you. A couple of us, we personally taught all of the sixth grade students at our school about astronomy in general, in fact. And I got that chance to teach just for about a month. I can't even believe a teacher allowed me to do that. And I was able to give public outreach events through Night Sky Network, done seminars, and then I was able to really be able to reach out with a lot of students. But the problem I've been running into a lot is that no matter how much if I've had so many sleepless days, I've spent hours calling people on the phone to see if they would help join our initiative. And the whole thing about it is that in New York City, in places like large cities where there's so many students, they don't actually really study astronomy, and that's the problem. And being in a K-12 school, I can being through that same school and education system, I've noticed that astronomy isn't really emphasized. And so when I bought it up, no one really seemed to care. And no matter how hard I tried, no one really seemed to care. But you know what? You know, and this is what the great thing about listening to things like these, where there are people who have very similar goals and similar, somehow people care, you know, somewhere around where it's not New York City, you know, and it really makes me happy to hear that, because I have not had any success so far. But just to give a little bit of background, just because I know that there's so much potential in New York City, when I was working in the Museum of Natural History, I taught astronomy to the public a lot, and they found it absolutely fascinating. And in another one, recently, just before I came to college, I was volunteering for the World Science Festival, and there were thousands of people who came out to the stargazing parties for, just for a whole night. And actually, it happened for several nights, actually, and there were thousands of people who would come out, and I got a chance to explain a little bit about what I did and everything like that. I sound very confused. but I really wanted to... You said that people who are older and people who are younger, you know, we're able to learn a lot from each other. And in terms of what I can provide is, because I'm trying, I've been trying really hard as a student who has been given the opportunity to teach other students, other peers my own age, on a K-12 perspective, like directly, the whole set right there. And we have that exact opportunity, but I haven't been able to have the resource to really make that happen. And I'm not able to really convince my administration to think that somehow it's important enough for them to, invest on, even though I've had so many, had so much progress so far. In fact, we have 3 radio telescopes, and I have a small team already at my high school, at the school, and they're all trying really hard, but they're nothing to really support us. And we're trying, we have access to thousands of people, and I feel like it's not really happening here. But that's what I'd like to ask you about. But in terms of here, I know if anyone interested in ever helping, I don't know if I can throw my email out there if that's okay or not.
Samuel, and we can get you in touch with other astronomy clubs or in your area if that helps at all. If you if anybody, we've got clubs from across the country online. I don't know how that would help necessarily with your club, but is there a question in particular you wanted to ask of these guys?
I can say that it's very disappointing, of course. But it's not very surprising. My own experience is that the the school systems generally have the things that they need to cover. They have to teach the tests to some extent. Adding curriculum is a very big deal in structured formal education. And teachers may not be interested in it because they don't know astronomy. There are very, very few teachers who would be able to teach anything about it. And that seems to contradict what we get, because I've done outreach for 40 years, and everybody is fascinated. Some of those teachers or administrators may come to your star parties because they're interested, but trying to fit it into a formal education system can be very, very difficult. And it's very disappointing, because we found in other countries, developing countries, where there is no science education, the teachers aren't educated in science, that astronomy is a fantastic way to get people involved and excited about it. But
I'd really like to follow up on you on that just really quickly, because I ran into that barrier, because I was pretty much fighting my administration every single day. I'm one of those leaders who, I don't really like to give up on setting a goal when I set a goal for myself. And so I annoyed the hell out of them, but, that's to be expected. But I realized, and the cool thing about it is, yes, I am in college, but when I go back in May, the cool thing is that most of what is happening in terms of Regents exam and AP exam are coming to an end. And that is when most of the teachers are allowing me to kind of take advantage of that. And there's about a 3-week to a month window for general learning. I don't think most teachers, I think a lot of teachers are okay with me teaching astronomy. I think we've actually made it a yearly program now where I'm able to do that. And perhaps even this year, we can probably reach out to more. But I'd like to, you know, take an opportunity. And I'm not sure if other if there are other initiatives, like student initiatives specifically, that are in the country or in a major city. So I don't know, you know, in terms of just covering that entire idea, if anyone would ever like to sort of view this as a guide in terms of that, because we're making that happen right at the moment. And in the last year, in that 2 months that we've been making progress, that is everything that happened, those seminars and me teaching classes, and in fact, our team teaching classes, and creating a telescope program, and creating an education program specifically for students to teach other students, by the way, can all happen in those months where suddenly curriculum are slowing down a little bit. And it's kind of a, you know, a tiny little opening, but I feel like teachers and the administration, even though, yes, big bureaucracy, would be more vulnerable to, you know, for a really big initiative like this to take advantage of, to, of that.
Well, it's a big task. It's a little outside the purview of the pairing program we're talking about here, so we probably should let some others ask questions about that as well, but I mean, I'll be glad to talk to you later, and I don't know if Leo has some insight, but Vivian can certainly hook you up with others all around the country.
I just want to say I agree with him, and don't lose the passion. Keep it up. I think we should pass it on to some other questions, though.
Our next question comes from Karen. Your line is open.
Hi, Mike and Leo and Vivian. When I saw the list of members, astronomy groups, I saw Nepal and India, and what came to mind was, wow, they must have really dark skies, because here in the San Francisco Bay Area, we have a hard time getting those dark skies. And I just thought, well, maybe there's an opportunity here, one way or another, just... That's all my input is.
Yeah. Certainly there's opportunities, and some of those places in India have dark skies, others don't. You know, they have big cities, and some of these clubs are in big cities, but we did have one club that is in a part of India that you probably don't even know exists. And that's the other thing I'm learning about this, is learning the culture and learning where these people are. There's this one part of India that's way out, buried like almost in Bangladesh, and it's very interesting, and we have a club there. I think we've already got them paired, but they have very, very good night skies there. But there's a lot of places in India that don't. But again, like in Vietnam, for example, they have a very long wet season, and we had an individual there that was talking about in the summertime they could exchange information with others and use that time to talk about other topics, and so forth. So, yeah, there's a lot of opportunity.
Thank you.
So sign up.
I have a question. This is Ken Lamonzo from the...
Oh.
You broke out. Yeah.
Oh, I think we might have lost him.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, come back.
Yeah, now I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, now. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, this is Ken Lum from the San Mateo County Astronomical Society, ONSO, in the San Francisco Bay Area. And has anybody canvassed these groups to see what it is that they need? You know, I mean, I can imagine certain situations, like, for example, if they have, I mean, here in the Bay Area, in Silicon Valley, we're just overwhelmingly awash in everything. Okay, but I can imagine that some places where the internet access might be a little iffy, that maybe a shipment of some posters or something like that, you know, which they could put on display for their group would be helpful. And we can pick up a lot of this kind of stuff essentially for free in our area. Like, for example, the U.S. Geological Survey has their regional headquarters here, just a few minutes away.
and we can pick up a lot of posters on not only you know, astronomy and you know, planetary science, but also on geology as well. And most of this stuff is free. And you know, if they want it, we're happy to pick it up and maybe ship it to them. And so, and the other thing too is that you know, I think there's a need amongst these groups to identify a leader with whom you know, who could communicate with the rest of the clubs in the area, in the world, and you know, who can set agendas and define what it is that they want, and maybe put out an inquiry as to if they have a need for something, put out an inquiry about what it is that they want.
Well, I can address that. One of the things I thought from the very beginning was that I would that Astronomers Without Borders would help to get telescopes around the world, because I'd traveled to a lot of places. I've taken my telescopes, my and binoculars and things myself to places like northern Iraq and other countries, and it turns out that shipping is just too expensive to send telescopes. But the idea of posters and other things like that is very good, because many places they just don't have anything like that. And schools don't have any posters. There's nothing. And this is most of the world we're talking about. The amateur astronomers, sometimes they have no telescopes. They do outreach primarily, and they do it with whatever they can get. Magazines, you know, I wanted to sell my send my Sky and Telescope collection overseas, and it was just too expensive. But there are programs that send books. Books we have lying around, we have so much surplus. Doing things in the real world is a little bit expensive, but if a club wants to send a collection of books they've collected, it's very easy to do with a group, paying a little bit for shipping. So you're absolutely correct that these clubs all around the world and the schools that they support could use any of these resources.
So here's my suggestion, is that you know, some kind of a posting. You can probably do it on social media, or if not social media, then on your website, is maybe a list of clubs, and maybe a designated leader of that club, and a posting of what it is that those particular clubs actually want. Do they, you know, they want educational materials? Do they want posters? Do they want hardware? Do they, you know, are they missing a 25 millimeter eyepiece? And you know, that would not be incredibly expensive to send, and you know, things like that. You know, so from my end, I would like to sort of know some specifics as to what it is they're joining this enterprise to. What are they looking for? You know, yeah. to get out of this.
Yeah, you've got a very good point. And actually, when on our website, when a club makes application for pairing, we actually ask them the kinds of things they do, things they're interested in, what they'd like to accomplish. Unfortunately, most of the time, it's a pretty terse answer, doesn't really dig in. So we really need to find a better way to pull that out of these clubs. But that's the other thing that we kind of expect during the initial work of pairing, but and we may find pairs that don't work well together, and we have to find somebody else. But nonetheless, we are doing that. Very good point, and I think that's something we have to put on this new website that we're developing, and do exactly that. But again, you can only put so much information there, and most of these people just want to have somebody in the U.S. or North America to talk to learn about what we do over here. They know we have all the resources. They know we have a lot of knowledge, and we go from there. Start with the cultural exchange, and then go into whatever area is more interesting at that point.
Okay.
But it's a good point. Very good point. Thank you.
It is. It is. I love all these questions. That's all the time we have for this evening, I'm sorry to say. But I want to thank you, Night Sky Network members, for your great questions. And a huge thanks to Leo and Mike for giving us so much of your time and an excellent presentation. And that's all we've got for tonight. You can find this telecon along with others on the Night Sky Network under Astronomy Activities. Just search for the word telecon. And tonight's presentation with a full audio and written transcript is going to be posted by the end of this week, just there. So thank you so much, everyone. Have a great night and keep looking up.
Thank you, Vivian.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you for participating. That concludes today's conference. You may disconnect at this time.